Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Max City Morning Show. I'm your host, Elliot Pierre. And as per usual, we're going to start the show off on the same note we start every show off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, so the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me. So thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How's she caught me, loves? You're listening to the Max City Morning Show.
Okay, and we're back. All right, hope you're into a very good episode because this one's going to be a barn burner, I can assure you of that. We have a very interesting man here today. As everybody knows at home, I do not introduce my guests. I let them do that themselves. So on that note, sir, can you please tell everybody who you are and what you're about?
Hello, I'm Dave Boucher from Fort McKay originally, born and raised in Fort McKay. I have a place in Fort McMurray with my family.
There you go. So born and raised Fort McKay. What was that like?
Born and raised in Fort McKay is... It was a different lifestyle.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember going up and down the road on a gravel road, no pavement.
Right.
Like, if you were to drive to Fort McKay today, it'd probably take you about 45 minutes.
That's right.
From Fort McMurray.
Yeah.
And back in the day, it'll probably take you about 2 hours just to get from Fort McMurray to Fort McKay because it's all gravel road.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when you were a child, did you get bussed in or did you stay in town for school or did you stay out there to get your schooling done?
You know what? The schooling I'd done in my career as in Fort McKay the whole time, never did went to high school.
Okay.
Did Fort McKay grade 9, and as far as the school went to was grade 9.
That's so right.
And that's where I finished off.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know what you just said of how hard it was to get there back in the day. Like, you look at the highway now that's twinned and super test is nice and wide. That's not what it used to be like to get up there.
You know, if you go back and look at Super Test Hill, the people that travel the road.
Yeah.
If you're going up the hill, going northbound.
Yeah.
You'll see their main road on the right-hand side climbing the hill.
That's right.
And my father, Freddie Boucher, was the guy that was part of building that highway.
Oh, wow.
Where it is today.
Nice.
Yeah. He was a heavy equipment operator.
Okay. And so your parents... What did they do as when you were a child? Did they work for the sites primarily? Was there a contracting company?
My dad was he ran it for about 60 dozers, heavy equipment.
Okay.
And that's what he did in the winter months. And at the same time, he trapped in the trap land.
Okay.
So pretty much I was born, raised in the trap land.
Okay. And so with your business, is that how you got it started? You saw what your father was doing. You said, hey, I can do this as well? Or... how did that transition take place for you?
You know, I lost my father in 1979. I was only about probably 13-year-old.
Okay.
Then I see what he done.
Yeah.
The years I known him.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I sit in a bank and just watch him run equipment. And I said, wow, I wouldn't mind doing it one day. A big deal back then.
Yeah.
Then as I get older, I got a job at Syncrude, my first job.
Okay.
Same thing, running heavy equipment.
Right.
Then I had an opportunity with Fort McKay, a group of companies, to be one of their operators / supervisor / manager. So I pretty much took that opportunity and went and worked for Fort McKay.
Okay.
In the 90s.
Okay. And that gave you the skill set you thought, okay, I figured out how to manage and operate and delegate work with people. I'm going to do this on my own.
Yeah. So when I was working with Fort McKay at the time, at Albion just first started the mine.
Okay.
They're all the trees still standing there.
Yeah.
So always a big part of that, clearing all the trees. I think that once a year we must clear at least about 5,000 hectares.
Okay.
And that's, we'd build a small pilot plant at the beginning of it.
Right.
A test plant.
Yeah.
For the future of the big plant that's going to be put in place there. And I was part of that. And it was interesting. It was.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're working for Fort McKay Group of Companies. And then you started your own company at the same time.
Yeah. So I was in McKay probably going into my fifth year with Fort McKay Group of Company managing it. And I had an opportunity on another site for another client, mm-hmm. CNRL, to do some winter work, exploration.
Okay.
And I went out and purchased a piece of equipment.
Yeah.
1D6D dozer, 1978 dozer.
Okay.
You don't see those around anymore.
Right.
And I had a family member and a cousin pretty much ran that piece of equipment for me mm-hmm. while I still managed McKay's business.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's amazing. So you just saw an opportunity. Hey, listen, I'll invest in some equipment. I have some people. Go run it. And now it's ballooned into the company that we see today. All started with one dozer.
One piece of equipment. And like, I had no funding or backing from the bank.
Right.
So I had to go and get a loan from Indian Investment. That's where I got the loan to buy the piece of equipment.
Okay.
That they gave me a loan for $70,000.
Yeah.
And the piece of equipment was $40,000.
Right.
And I bought the equipment off Fort McKay First Nation group of companies.
Okay.
When they were selling off all their equipment.
Okay.
So I got a loan from Indian Investment out of Edmonton and Enoch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And of course, you got to do a business plan to get the loan.
Right.
So I put a business plan in place and I kind of lied through my business plan because I didn't have no work to go with that.
Right.
And I was just gambling myself. So and I did a business plan and went back to Enoch, their investment. Here's my business plan. And they gave me a check for $70,000.
Wow.
Hopefully they're not mad about that lie.
You know what? And it was so crazy because it was a 4-year loan.
Yeah.
Indian Investment interest was 18%.
Ooh.
18% interest.
Wow.
So I had that bill paid off in 2 years.
Yeah.
From the time I got the loan.
Good for you.
And my client wasn't very happy with me because I had it paid off very quick.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to date you a little bit here. How old were you when this was taking place?
I was probably around 26.
Yeah.
Yeah, 26, yeah.
Young and dumb.
Young and dumb. Then no education. No, no high school, Fort McMurray. No Father Merck. No,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
No schools like that, right? Just right out of the reserve of Fort McKay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I did. I made some risky plays in my 20s, too, with real estate here in Fort McMurray. Luckily, thank you very much, they all paid off. But I remember there was one day I opened a piece of mail from the bank, and it outlined how much I owed them. And I had a number of houses at the time. So it was a large number. And I just remember going to my wife and saying, like, do you know how much money we owe the bank? And she's just like, yeah, I'm fully aware. She's like, Ellie, do you have like 3-4 houses? Like, that adds up.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, wow. And at the time, I was only the same age, 26, when I came to that realization.
Yeah, yeah.
And luckily, it all worked out. So you have to take risks for the reward sometimes. But I find like, yeah, when you're in your 20s, you just think you're invincible.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, before that, I worked at Syncrude, for Syncrude itself.
Yeah.
And when I was 18-year-old.
Right.
Yeah.
18 years old out at Syncrude.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What part of Syncrude did you work in?
I worked in all departments. I started off in the tailings.
Okay.
On the boats. And I end up in the cell cats on the dozers, dry diking, pushing cells.
Okay.
For the dike.
Yeah.
Then did that and went on to the buck wheels, drag lines. Worked there for a few years.
Okay.
Yeah, so I went around the mine there in Syncrude.
You weren't messing around.
Yeah, yeah.
My father worked there. Did you spend any time in any of the warehouses?
No. Okay. The only warehouse I worked at the beginning for probably a short time at the CMS shop.
Okay.
At 41B.
41B.
41B at the main entrance at the main gate.
Do you know a gentleman named Gregory Pierre?
Yes, I do.
That's my father.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
I used to sweep floor in a CMS shop with a broom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And cleaning up behind the tradespeople.
He must have loved you because he's a clean freak.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So that's where I started with the broom.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell my dad that, hey, I had somebody on the show today that you might remember.
Yeah.
So yeah, he worked at 41B primarily for his like 38-year career out at Syncrude. He loved it.
And, nice place to work.
Oh, yeah.
All indoor.
Yeah.
You're not outside.
Not outside. Yeah. That's exactly. There's worse places to be.
Yeah. There's minus 30. You want to be inside.
Yeah. He's just in there working in the warehouse. Loved it. I remember when he retired, it was a hard thing for him. He missed. He like literally missed not just going to work, but the people that he worked with and like that community. It took him a few years to kind of ease into retirement.
Yeah.
So once you create a culture around you, it's hard, right?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, my man, we're at the part of the show called the Mac City Minute. This is where Tanner's going to ask you some questions. I have no idea what he's going to ask you, so I wish you nothing but the best of luck. Tanner, hit him with the Mac City Minute.
All righty. Question number one. What was your favorite part of growing up in such a small community?
My favorite part growing up in the small community is probably hanging around in the back door of my house, out in the trees, climbing trees and shooting little chickens, and kind of kept myself away from school with my little buddies, we hang out. Like, you know, miss school, but it's where we be.
Yeah.
That was our big thing then.
Question number two. What is your favorite part of being an indigenous-run business?
My favorite part is, I guess for me, it's, I guess it's taking this risk that we took to start this business and didn't know where it was going to go with no business plan in place. It just happened, and it kind of grew from there.
Question number three. What is one thing about running a company that makes you appreciate your community?
It's, I mean, we are, me and my wife, Nicole, are very, very big in giving back to our community. And that's like Fort McKay and Fort McMurray. I mean, we probably give back to our communities probably $250,000 a year.
Question number four. What is one reason you're such a large supporter of Wood Buffalo?
It's just because where we come from and who we are. We're born and raised in Fort McKay, Fort McMurray. And, of course, my wife's from the Mikisuban is 240 kilometers downriver from Fort McKay. So that's probably the reason of why.
And your final question. If you weren't running a business, what would you want to be doing?
Flying planes and just sailing in the air. I love planes.
And those have been your five questions.
How did you meet your wife?
I met my wife, and it's so funny, you know, you said that, because driving up here to your home here.
Yeah.
My wife's late sister used to live in the area here.
Okay.
And I remember one time I was driving driving to Edmonton, and a nice Saturday afternoon going to Edmonton, going south. And I was single at the time.
Yeah.
And the two boys, as Nicole's both brother-in-laws, Trevor and Harvey, they called me. They used to work for me when I used to manage Fort McKay Group of Companies. They were both working for me when I was a manager there. And I was probably by Marianne Lakes, and I got the call on my phone. He said, what are you up to? I'm just cruising to Edmonton Saturday.
Yeah.
All alone. And he said, you should come back to McMurray and come have barbecue with us.
Okay.
Okay, and I said, what's the barbecue going on? And then kind of filled me in, and Nicole's at the our place here, and she's hanging. I didn't know Nicole at the time.
Okay.
So, okay, I turned my truck around, and I said, I guess Edmonton's not going to happen this weekend.
Right.
So I came back to the barbecue there, and in the area here up in Abbasan, and slowly from there, we started dating, and met her then, and so it's kind of took off from there.
Okay, that's awesome. A random phone call for a barbecue.
Yeah, and then and of course that
best went, barbecue you've ever had, eh?
and of course it went on from there to the Albion site.
Okay.
And when Nicole used to work there for Sail Canada, and I used to run Fort McKay Group of Companies business there, I was the manager there. So
yeah.
Then we meet up in this building where we both work in the area. So
right.
Yeah, it's crazy how it turned out, but it.
That's right.
It turned out the best.
That's awesome. I love that story. Yeah. I most of the time when you meet somebody, like, it's super random like that. Like, you didn't know when you picked up that phone. You could have very easily said, you know what? I'm just going to continue driving south. I'm going to go to Edmonton.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And now I've got a question for you. A few years ago, you sponsored an event that had Mark Messier come up.
Yes.
And you spent some time with him, I'm assuming. What's it like hanging out with Mark Messier?
You know, it's amazing. The best part for myself, I mean, ever since I known him, it's I used to go watch the Oilers games in Edmonton in the 80s when they're winning all these cups.
That's right.
And I had no money. I used to jump in the Greyhound bus.
Okay.
Just to go to Edmonton and watch the game, and stayed in a probably $30 hotel.
Right.
The Coliseum Inn?
Yeah. Or the Forum Inn, you call that?
Yeah.
And then to have him up here in our home and doing what he did for the kids, it's amazing. Great person, the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And the stories that they share back in their time in hockey career days.
Yeah.
It's amazing stories.
Yeah.
And it was a good time. And like ever since then, I've been invited probably to 10 events.
Oh, really?
With Mark, like Bahamas, New York, Edmonton a few times.
Yeah.
And I hate to say this, but this coming up next week, November 4th.
Yeah.
I'm invited to another big event with the ex-Oilers back in the 80s.
Okay.
They're hanging Kevin Lowe's jersey, so
if you need a date, I'm available.
Yeah. So that's going to be exciting. That's happening next week, and I'm looking forward to that.
That's awesome. So you've been able to connect with a bunch of the players from there.
Yes, all of them. Yeah, all the 80s. The boys won the cup in the 80s.
Nice.
The boys in the bus, yeah.
When you took that loan for that vehicle, did you have any idea that it would like transform into like what you've built it into?
Never did. I mean, like when I took that, it was a high risk for myself. And of course, the job I was doing was my backup. That's how I got to pay the bill. And I knew I had a good job with Fort McKay, and it was a very solid job. Good paying job.
Yeah.
And of course, when I met my wife, she came into the business to join my business with me in 2003.
Right.
And from then, we never did look back. And I mean, she took that to another level that didn't expect that I'm going to grow that big.
That's right.
Today.
That's right.
And it wasn't part of the plan.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, today you got 900 employees.
Yeah.
400 piece equipment coming from one piece equipment.
Right.
And it's a milestone. That's something I never ever thought it'll be today.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's a beautiful story, especially you start from humble beginnings and you just say, listen, I'm going to take this risk. I'm going to work hard and hopefully it pans out.
Yeah.
And not only does it pan out, but it creates all these opportunities as a kid staying, going on a Greyhound bus, seeing somebody on the ice.
Yeah.
You actually get to say, no, I know this guy, and I've created a relationship with him. It's like, it's a beautiful story, man.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's good times. I mean, it was challenging as you went along, but it was good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, my man, that's the end of our show. So at the end of the show, though, everybody gets a shameless shout-out or plug. So the cameras are on you, the lights are on you. Have fun.
Thank you very much, Fort McMurray, for having me here today on a Saturday afternoon. Thank you very much for having me.
There we go. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for coming. And if you ever want to come back again, that seat is always open to you.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. That's been another episode of the Max City Morning Show. Thank you very much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. I hope you're having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.